ओम शांति। बाबा इज कमिंग टुडे एंड सो वी आर फिल्ड विद दैट एक्सपेक्टेशन ऑफ द ट्रेजर्स बाबा इज गोइंग टू गिव अस बट आल्सो ऑफ द इंस्ट्रक्शंस बाबा इज गोइंग टू गिव अस फॉर आवरसेल्व्स एंड फॉर सर्विस टुडे बिकॉज बाबा यूजुअली सेट्स द टोन फॉर द कमिंग ईयर But also for Brahmins, the whole month of January is a new year, a chance for a new beginning. The month of special vibrations when Baba became avyakt, the time when Baba was making his final preparations, though since June 68, we could see that Baba was already in his karmatit stage. And yet, yes, finally the departure on the 18th of January. And so today it's very relevant to be thinking about what return can I give to Baba for the sustenance he has given me. When I say Baba, which Baba do I mean? I mean both Babas. Because Shiv Baba has been a tireless, compassionate teacher for us. Which other teacher would remind you of the first day's lesson every single day? Some of you are Laukik teachers sitting here in this room. Would you think about taking students back to the first lesson every single time you gave them another lesson? You'd say, well, if they haven't got it by now, they're probably never going to get it. But Baba doesn't think like that. Baba thinks differently. And so Baba reminds us of the first lesson nearly every single day. And even in the recent Avyakt Muralis, again and again and again. So truly compassionate and truly tireless. And also with constant hope for the children. Never ever the question that my children are not going to attain victory because they're careless and they have ego and they're lazy and all the things that Baba knows that we are. Baba doesn't see that. Baba sees our final stage, our original stage, and pulls us up to that. But Brahma Baba, no less. If somebody keeps you waiting for something for a few minutes, you begin to get a little bit irritable. If they keep you waiting a day, you begin to get a little bit angry inside. I've asked them and they're still not doing it. You ask them a second time and they still don't do it. And by the third time, you've given up. You say, I'm not going to ask them again. I've said enough. Full stop. And Brahma Baba's been waiting and waiting and waiting for how long? 41 years. For us to come to Baba and to become Karmatit. And yes, admittedly, Baba's knowledge hadn't yet reached the lands abroad. That only happened after Baba became avyakt. But yet still, people were having dreams, people having visions through the 60s, through the 70s, through the 80s. I've heard stories of people from all continents who had those dreams and visions, and yet they didn't take it a step further. They waited till Baba came to their country. Instead of going out on a search and saying, I'm going to find this person who came to me in my dreams, they sat back and said, okay, let's see what happens. And certainly, since the 70s and 80s and 90s, such intense service going on worldwide. And so a lot of effort being made by Bap Dada, by Brahma Baba alone and by the family to find all of us and bring us back to Baba. And so we've been having sustenance physically in different times. But yet, Daddy shares a story of how in Brijkoti, in Abu, in 1950, Baba would look at the gathering and they'd say, "Baba, where were you?" And Baba would say, "I was sending Sakash to all my children out there who were waiting to come to me." And so this is what explains then all the visions and dreams that people were having, because that's a story that Daddy specifically mentions. But then when Baba would awaken at 2:30 in the morning, what was he doing? Yes, yoga for himself, but also mansa seva, service through the mind, sending out those vibrations to find his lost children and bring them back again. So we can't say, "I've only been in Gyan a year, so I've only taken sustenance from Baba for a year." Baba's been looking after you, caring for you, sustaining you for a very long time. And now finally you're here. And you've had that sustenance from Bab Dada, from the Dadis, from Madhuban, from your own centers, from the teachers at your own centers, from the little family at your centers and the big family of Madhuban. And so what's the return you're going to give for that? But before I wanted to go into the detail of that, I wanted to share a few stories about Brahma Baba. Because just as Baba says, "Shiv Baba, only a handful know me as I truly am." In the same way, I think that for many of us, it's a question, how much do we know Brahma Baba? Do we know Brahma Baba truly as he is? And it's not a question of meeting him in Sakar or not meeting him in Sakar. People met Baba in Delhi, in Punjab, in Bombay, many, many times, Pune, Kanpur, Lucknow, you name it, Baba was traveling until the last years. And then when Mama left the body, 1965, June 24th, after that, Baba did not step foot outside Pandav Bhavan. Not even for a walk. When Baba would walk, it would be within the confines of Pandav Bhavan. Baba did not leave to go anywhere for those last few years. But until then, a lot of people everywhere were meeting Baba. And yet, how many came to Baba? A handful. Even out of the ones who had surrendered at the beginning of the yagya, not everyone stayed, some left. And then some left in the days of the poverty period in Mount Abu. And so it's not a question of seeing physically Brahma Baba. It's a question of seeing Baba with your third eye and knowing who Baba is and what his role is. You can know Baba through meeting Baba in Drishti. You can know Baba through the Murali. You can know Baba through the stories that you hear. You can know Baba through the behavior of the Dadis and the things that they share. You can know Baba just by connecting with Baba. And by keeping your mind focused on that being who is now the angel serving the whole wide world. And so, two very little stories that give you an idea of the big heart of this human being. Most of you have read Adidev, or you've heard the story of how even before Gyan, when Baba would offer the purification water in the Ganges, when he took a dip there, it wouldn't be just a request to God for his own purification. That would be the first dip. Then the second dip would be for his family and friends. There was a third dip that Baba took, and the third one would be for all the souls of the world. And so this vision for the whole world was very much Baba's vision. And then in 1959, now some of you may have heard the story, but I don't mind sharing it. I was in London with my parents and my little brother. We'd migrated in 57 when Rajni Ben had already taken Gyan for 6 months, and then meeting Brahma Baba in Delhi, November 57. And I just remember the meeting of love. But it was actually the meeting where Baba said to Rajni Ben, yes, go abroad, go to London, and all will be well. Because you can imagine, at that time, no external help available. But Baba gave her that reassurance, and she came to London with that. And a couple of years later, 1959, we're still in London. And at that point, London has one Indian store and maybe two Indian restaurants. Now, those of you who've been to London recently know that every high street has 5 Indian restaurants and at least 3 Indian stores. That's the story today. It was very different then. And one day, it must have been around May, June, and it must have been a Saturday because we were at home and we were in the garden playing. And the postman comes and he rings the bell and he knocks on the door. And most times they just put the letters through the postbox and that's it. But this time he was ringing. So we ran to the door and there was a parcel. And it was addressed to my mum. And we asked her if we could open it because it was very exciting getting this parcel by airmail. You know how many packages were sent by airmail in those days. And so we opened it up, and there were 6 Alfonso mangoes. Now, those of you who are connoisseurs of mango, you know that the Alfonso mango is the best. Its fragrance, its taste is very special, very different to all the other types of mangoes that you can get in India or Africa or America or wherever. And mangoes packed and sent by airmail. And what had happened was that Baba was in Bombay and Baba was enjoying some mangoes there. And Baba remembered these little children who were in London, and Baba thought they should also have a chance to enjoy some mangoes. They must be missing mangoes. And in those days, you didn't fly vegetables back and forth across the world or fruits or anything like that. It was local produce and you had that. That's it, according to the season. And just imagine, Baba's big heart post airmail mangoes. We had lots of relatives in India and not one of them could have even had the thought, this is what we want to do. But Baba's love and Baba's big heart. And then another story about Brahma Baba in the 60s. This would have been around 66, 67, around there. And it was winter time. And somehow the freezing weather has again returned to Abu. In between, for several years, we didn't experience such cold, freezing weather in Abu at all. But those days, it was constant. Every year, it was freezing. And Jyoti, a sister who now lives in London, she was in school, in boarding school in Abu, at Sophia College, which is still around, a convent school. And it has day people as well as boarders. her mother had been very clever, and she'd fixed for Jyoti to be a boarder, but also she lived in Cambodia, and she'd arranged for Brahma Baba to be the guardian. And it meant that Jyoti could come every Sunday back to the ashram and spend the day with Baba. And it meant that her mother could come visit her officially to go see her daughter, but it was really to see Baba. And one day, winter time, and Jyoti comes to Baba, and she says, "Baba, the nuns have a question for you. And the question is, where does Baba buy the coal?" Because they'd asked Jyoti, "Do you have hot water in your ashram?" She said, "Yes." "Where does Baba buy the coal? Because we are not getting coal anywhere. There's nothing available in the shops. Everything's run out. You're not getting anything." And so she told Baba, "Baba, this is the question and this is the situation." And so Baba said to her, "You mean there's no hot water available?" And she said, "No, Baba." So next question, "But how do all of you bathe?" "Well, Baba, we manage somehow." And Baba says, "Okay, ask the nuns to send two bullock carts." And next day, they sent that, and Baba had it loaded up with coal, two bullock carts, which is big. And this got sent, and the nuns are then saying to Jyoti, "But how expensive it is, we don't know whether we can afford this. Ask your Baba, how much all this is going to be." And Jyoti asks Baba, and Baba's reply, "All these girls are my children. A father doesn't have to take money from his children to look after them." And Jyoti relayed that back to the nuns, and they couldn't understand what Baba meant, really. But of course they appreciated the gesture of love. And then Baba explained a second thing. Baba said, "If there's something that's being given in donation, you can never sell it. It's not the law." And so what came to Baba's house in donation, yes, it can be shared in a wise way and others can make good use of it, but it can't be sold. And you can just see Baba's, again, love. Baba didn't know those little girls. Baba hadn't seen them, but Baba knew that they were his children. They were his girls, not somebody else's daughters. Prajapita, the father of the people. "They're my children, and I want them to be comfortable. They can't have baths with cold water in such weather." And so Baba organizing that. And some of you know Sarala Devi in Ahmedabad. It was her aunt, her mother's sister, she and her husband owned these coal mines in a place called Dhanbad, which is just near Calcutta. And every year, a train, now just imagine, a train double the size of this platform. And this coal would be sent from their mine for Baba, so that there'd be enough for the whole year. And without a second thought, without any hesitation, Baba's sending this. And the teaching that Baba gave, you cannot sell something that has been given in donation. So, two little stories that maybe you've heard, maybe not. But it gives you an idea of Baba's big, big, big generous heart. And Baba's tapasya. 2 o'clock in the morning, 2:30 in the morning, Baba sitting in silence, invoking the Supreme. And through the day, Baba very, very aware that Baba just wants to give happiness to each one. Baba does not want to give any sorrow to anyone. And was Baba's way of creating good karma. Mansa Seva, yes. Baba was speaking the Murali, giving jnana all day. Service through words, yes. But service through my actions. And not just thinking about what I need and what I want, but thinking about the world or even the family and making sure that you're giving them happiness all the time, whether it's something very physical and concrete like coal or whether it's just simply sweet words, words of encouragement, words of acknowledgement. If you read Baba's Avyakt Muralis today or listen to Baba's Avyakt Muralis, the first page is totally just appreciation of the children, the reminder to the children of who they really are. And then Baba starts shooting the arrows. But what about this? But what about this? But what about this and this? So not that Baba's going to ignore our weaknesses, because a sign of Baba's love is that Baba wants us to attain perfection. If a mother has love for a child, she wants the child to be the best. And even if he isn't the best, she still thinks he is the best. And her neighbors have a bit of a problem with her because they see other things in the child, but she's just seeing that the child is the best. And she won't listen to anyone else who has any other story to tell. And so Baba, whatever other stories are going around are down here. Baba's vision is up here. And so Baba seeing all the children and seeing them in their highest form. And so that's how Baba sees me. How do I see myself? And why should there be a difference in the vision that Baba has of me and how I see myself? I know that at times when I've gone through challenges and different things have come my way, it's a tool I've used for myself, and it's very effective. Just simply to ask myself the question, how does Baba see me? And to be able to reflect on that and remember that. And automatically, whatever are the little things that you're caught up with, you're lifted up above, and you're in that stage where truly you can be a helper of God in the task of creating a world of happiness. But most importantly, it's happened because there was a change of consciousness, a change of heart, and you decided that, yes, what Baba is saying is for you. It's a blessing. And so you decide, yes, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to be. And so constantly remember Baba's blessings. How many of you had the chance for personal meetings with Baba, which happened all the way through to 89? A lucky, lucky handful. Literally, just three. And so you're very lucky. When you think about the huge growth of the Brahmin family today, and you think that people today don't even get a chance for personal drishti, let alone a personal conversation with Baba. So remember your fortune and be filled with gratitude, and that love will then help you give Baba the return. But even for those who haven't had that opportunity, and I knew that it would be the majority, and I don't want you to be jealous of the people who did receive those blessings, because jealousy is the last thing that you want to have. It'll take you really further away from Baba. But just remember that today you can learn from all the experiences of those who've been before you. They're there to share what it is they did to get to a stage of victory, how it is they were able to go beyond hopelessness, carelessness, laziness, and begin to really fight with Maya, so that then you're able to have victory over all negativity. So that definitely is the way to give Baba the return. Whatever Baba has given me has been in order for me to become perfect, complete. That is Baba's motivation. Baba wants all the children to claim the kingdom and to have a crown and a throne. And if children sometimes say, Baba, the crown keeps slipping, or I keep leaving my throne because I see this one, I want to talk to them, or I see this thing happening and I want to do something about it, then that becomes the number wise according to effort. But Baba provides me with a throne in his heart and says, child, come and sit here. And when you do that, then there's always that feeling, Baba has given me so much, what can I do in return? And before you can give the return, Baba's already given you more. And so somehow you never catch up, which is fine. It's not good to be indebted to human beings, but it's always good to be indebted to God. And God will give you a lot more. So I'm thinking gratitude is a main factor in giving Baba the return. Appreciation of what Baba has given you. The second, to make effort in the way Baba made effort to attain my final stage. And the third, to be able to be Baba's instrument, to share Baba's knowledge with all the souls of the world. Baba keeps saying, find something new, find something new. And the other day I was thinking that, well, the first single computer came into Baba's house in London in 1985, December, which was fortunate because 86 we started the Million Minutes. And from that first computer, which we bought with a lot of caution, a lot of deep thought, a lot of discussion. But today I can't even count how many computers there are in Global House. I don't know how many there are in each department. So why I'm remembering that is because it definitely is the age of technology. And many, many new things in service have already happened because of technology. I mean, a million minutes could not have happened without technology. And Baba's family received 7-piece messenger awards. And then Global Corporation. Impossible without the technology. Literally impossible. Receiving Muralis the same day everywhere. Something very new. People used to get Muralis in India 10 days after Baba had spoken it. Which is why once when Dadi Kumarka had a lecture to give in Mumbai, and the theme of the lecture was connected with women. It was a women's event that was happening in an interfaith thing. And the roads were blocked because of the trains. The rocks had fallen. And do you know what Baba did? Baba spoke the Murali, had it written out instantly, a copy of what had been written. And Baba sent Dada Vishwaratan from Abu. Somehow he managed to get through all the blocked roads and get to a train. And he went all the way to Bombay to deliver a Murali to Dadi Kumarka. So that Dadi Kumarka would have all the latest points that Baba was talking about in terms of conferences and interfaith. We hear that in the Murali now. This and this is happening in Delhi. You children should have a presentation there. Or this and this is happening somewhere else. You children should be there to help and provide. And so Baba's value for the Murali is huge. Sending someone on an 18-hour journey to deliver the Murali. You know, Baba could have said, well, Devi Kumarika has heard so many Muralis in her life, and so she's got enough gyan. She's a gyani and yogi, so she can just churn and reflect and send off that, or give a presentation of that. But Baba didn't say that. Baba wanted her to have the latest Murali, Baba's latest inspirations. So my question to you, Baba, out of love for his children, leaves Paramdham and comes every day to give us gyan. Whoever is the Murali reader is secondary, but whose Murali is it? It's Baba's Murali. No human being could do the things that have happened in the Yajna in the last 30, 40 years that I've seen happen. The story of Gyan Sruar, the story of Shantavan, everything. The story of the purchase of Pandubhavan. Everything is an amazing story in itself. And so, Baba, and Baba's appreciation of the Murali, that the children should have the latest treasures and use them for themselves and for service. How much appreciation do I have of the Murali? And how much do I recognize that the Murali is from Bapdada? Shiv Baba, yes, but Brahma Baba throws in a lot of his own experience of Bhakti and Calcutta and so on and so on. But it's Baba's Murali. And every Murali has a blessing. Well, you know that. But how many of us take the blessing to be the blessing for me today? This is what I needed to know today. And as a result of that, everything goes very well. Baba knows what to supply, Baba knows how to supply it, and we just have to be ready to take it and use it in our life. How many of you have had the experience that there's been a question in your mind, or a question that a student has asked you, and next day, bang, it's in the Murali? Some of you are feeling a bit cold, so you're hiding your hands. But I'm sure that practically everyone in this room has had that experience. So Baba's giving me what I need. Am I taking it? Am I using the blessings that Baba's giving me every single day? When Baba became avyakt, there was an interesting comment that Baba made. Baba asked the question, what is the sign of love? And there can be a dozen answers and they'll all be right, they won't be wrong. But at that particular time, Baba said, if you love someone, you will always also love what they love. Do you agree with that? I'm not hearing it. Good. Which means that Baba was saying, Baba's deep love was for effort. We thought Baba was going to say God. But Baba said, Baba's deep love was for effort. And so if you love Baba, you must also love effort. And then you'll be able to give Baba the return. Because that's the return that Baba wants. Baba wants to see the proof in our transformation, in our life. Baba doesn't want me to be able to serve VIPs, because I can contact 1,000 VIPs and meet out of that maybe a few. out of 1,000, 999 will say no, but at least one will say yes, and you can meet them. And does that make Baba happy? Baba will say, well, how much did that soul recognize Baba? Is that soul coming running to Madhuban to meet me? Okay, first step, you've met somebody. But have you given them that recognition of God so that they're connected with God? Not yet. And then of course we'll say, well, when Baba touches them, then they'll come to Baba, which is absolutely true. And so in service, if we ever think, I have done this, your happiness disappears. It's a fact. As soon as the thought of I comes in service, happiness is gone. And one day you were feeling very elated that I did this. Next day, well, what's happened? And you can't be serving VIPs every day. And so you can't get that artificial boost of adrenaline every day. It's not going to happen. Or yes, I give a very good presentation, but I can't do that every day. Or even if I am doing that every day, you know what the result of that's going to be? You get tired and exhausted and drained. And you say, because I've been so busy in service, that's why I'm tired. If you're doing service as Baba's instrument, there's no tiredness. Because it's Baba who's done the work, not me that's done the work. It's Baba who's done the work. And so service is Baba's responsibility. And if I become Baba's clean, clear, egoless instrument, the doors of service will keep opening. The other thing that happens when I think I have done it is the doors begin to close. There just isn't as much opportunity as there could be. It's Baba's work, it's the truth. So how come everybody's not ready to accept it? Because the instrument isn't ready yet. When an instrument is ready, I mean, if I think about the Dadis, what they say is usually very simple. Usually. Dadi Janki takes us very, very deep and it's quite complex. But generally speaking, what the Dadis say is not so difficult. And yet the impact that it has on another individual is the feeling that this is the truth. I remember a person who's quite famous in their own right, and he's a guru in his own right, an American guru. He was interviewing Dadi himself. Usually he doesn't do that. He has his assistants do that. But this time he was interviewing Dadi. And Dadi was giving very, very straight gyan in the answers. Prajapita Brahma, the instrument, Shiv Baba, the cycle, 5,000 years, the lot. An interview lasted for over an hour. It was meant to be in 15, 20 minutes. But he kept asking and Dadi kept giving him very detailed answers. And we finished and Dadi then left to go to the program. Other people were waiting for her. And I say to this person, what do you think of the things that Dadi was sharing? Because I was so aware that Dadi had practically given the 7 days course in an hour. Now, how much did he understand? And his answer was very beautiful. He said, I can't challenge anything that he said because she was coming from her own truth. And that's the impact that the Dadis have. People can feel the that they're coming from a space of truth. Whether they understand, and even beyond that, whether they accept, is another story. But they will recognize that they're coming from a space of truth. And they won't argue, they won't debate. Baba today told us, don't get into discussions of the scriptures. This one says this, this verse is this. None of that. But you prepare yourself. And then you'll be able to give Baba the return. Then Baba's going to be able to work through you. And others will feel the truth that's flowing through you. Then the comment won't be, ah, that was a brilliant talk or a brilliant lecture. No. What they will feel is that what you were sharing was really true. Very big difference in terms of feedback and response. The other thing, I know that for me, a very, very big motivation in my own life, both in terms of my dharana, also in terms of my relationships with others, and also in terms of really just saying jiha, whatever situation comes along, and being able to be light and flexible about it, has been because I'm so aware of the sustenance I've had from Bapdada, the Dadis, and of course especially Dadi Janki. Constant, 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 tireless, tireless sustenance. And so when I remember that, then I have to say jiha. And I have to give other people the open space, the generosity of heart to accept them, no matter what else may be going on. Which bit of their sanskaras they are sorting out, whatever little challenges are coming in terms of relationships with others for them. I have to remember at that moment how much I have received and what Baba has done for me. And then I'm able to be more gentle, more accepting, more loving. And so definitely my own transformation has happened through appreciating what Baba and the Dadis have given. And then I also know that I do this much and Baba gives this much. And so there'll always be a debt. But a child is always in debt to their parents. How much can a child give in return? Yes, obedience. Yes, good character. Yes, becoming independent in terms of being able to care for the self. But yet, how much can they give to their parents? They can't. And so the same thing with Baba. Baba gives us to an infinite degree. And so just keep taking, but just keep using it, and just keep sharing it, and it'll multiply. It really will. I know that we should finish on time, even though I came a few minutes late. But I know that today, whatever Baba shares, is not just the start of the new year, but it's also preparation for the tapasya for the month of January. And so, enjoy Baba tonight, but also take every opportunity while you're in Madhuban still to fill yourself with all the things that Madhuban has to offer, from the family, from the quiet places, from the different Baba's rooms, from the opportunity to focus on the Murali without any thought of, I have to prepare bhog, I have to go to breakfast, I have to do this, I have to do that. just focused as a student on the Murali. Madhuban gives us a real opportunity for that. Om Shanti.